Oh Lord, we give you the honor and glory and praise. For you are God, creator of all things. For you are God who brings salvation to a broken creation. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. This morning, I want to invite you here to spend a moment in confession, is bringing any sins before our God this morning. Would you bring it to the throne of grace with confidence that it is through the blood of Jesus that we are forgiven? Would you spend a moment to do so right now? Oh God, we are this broken creation. That is this sin that is against you, rebellious against you, oh God. You, God, are holy and cannot be in the presence of sin. But Lord, we give thanks because through the blood of Jesus, our sins are wiped clean. That through the resurrection of Christ, your people have victory over the power and punishment of sin in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that it is in you that we have this new hope and new life that we can experience here, now, and into eternity, O God. We ask, Lord, that you will continue to bless all the things that are going on in our church body. I want to give thanks, Lord, for the rummage sale that happened recently. We thank you, Lord, for the turnout from the community, being able to engage with the local community. We just ask, oh Lord, that through events like this, that you would help our church to be a beacon of light, a beacon of hope, the beacon of your gospel in this local area. Use us, oh God, as your hands and feet. We pray for all these college students who are back. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them this summer, that whatever they have planned, whatever's in store for them, Lord, we ask that you be with them. And that though it may not be a time of classes and whatnot, but Lord, I pray that you would help them even during the summer to be pursuing you, to be seeking after a fellowship and communion with you, oh Lord. We pray for our upcoming EC retreat. We pray, Lord, continuously for the coworkers who are busy figuring out all logistics. And I pray, Lord, that you would move in each one of our hearts here to desire and have a desire to sign up, to want to go and fellowship with the fellow believers here in this congregation, and that the retreat may be a time of spiritual and physical rest from all the things, all the busyness here, oh God, that it would be a time that is life-giving and renewing and refreshing for our souls. Lord, we just pray that you would bless the retreat next month, that it may be honoring and pleasing to you, oh God. And finally, this morning, I pray that you would just bless those who are suffering in this chapel. Lord, I ask that you have mercy upon them, especially those who are suffering silently, whether physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, oh Lord. They are seen by you. Lord, none of the suffering goes unseen by you, the God who cares, the God who loves them so much. So Lord, I pray that you would be their comfort this morning. God, you would be their peace and hope. I pray, Lord, you bless your servant as well. I pray, Lord, that you would bless your servant, for he is weak. But we ask that through this message, through this service, that you, oh God, would bring about transformation, that you, God, would be glorified. We thank you, Lord, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I invite you to remain standing. If you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to John chapter 21. Our scripture reading is going to look at verses 1 through 14. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. This is how it reads. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of the disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered, no. He said to them, cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dare ask them, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is a reading of the word. Please be seated. I want to welcome everyone again to our service this morning. Whether you're in person or online, I'm glad you can join us to worship our God. My name is Andrew. I'm the intern minister here for the English congregation here at RCCC. And I actually just want to start off by giving a congrats to all the college students who finished their semesters. I think more and more schools are finishing off their finals. So congratulations. Another year of school done. And I hope that students, you'll have a restful summer break. And definitely special congrats to those who finished undergrad. Job well done. Finally done with all the studying. And if you're back home from out of state, whether you graduated or you go to school out of state, I just want to invite you to our young adult and college group that meets every Friday night at 8 p.m. We meet downstairs in this building. So if you're here even just for a few weeks, no matter how long you're around Jersey for, maybe before an internship, I invite you to come and join us just for a time of fellowship. We would love to have you, welcome you, and just to bless you during your time here in New Jersey. This time of year, of course, is college graduation time. And I recently attended one of the Rutgers graduations. And naturally, it got me thinking about my college career. And it dawned on me that this year marks the 10-year anniversary of my undergrad career. 10 years. And it makes me think, like, what happened? What happened? It's already been 10 years. What have I done in these past 10 years? And when I think back about undergrad, so I went to school in upstate New York in Rochester. And every time there was a break, I would like hitch a ride from a friend who had a car and lived in New Jersey. And we would always pretty much take the same road every time. It would go through I-81 and then go into I-80. And we would go all the way up to Rochester, about like a 6-hour drive or so. And for some reason, it just felt like every break, every time we would drive to Rochester or from Rochester, there's always lane closures on these highways. All the time. That half the highway would be closed for some reason because of construction, most likely, right? And it was weird because, like, it was every break. And it makes me wonder, like, is it the same, like, stretch of road that hasn't been fixed in, like, 2 years now? Like, what's taking them so long? But I think honestly, it was more like it was a different stretch of road every time. It's just every time there was something to be done. Every break, these workers had to do some work in terms of fixing the road, paving the road, fixing some guardrail on the highway. And, you know, it was always changing. There was always things to improve. There was always things to fix on these highways. There's always more work to be done. And this kind of returning to this work over and over again, actually, endless improving and fixing, is actually something that we encounter in our passage this morning. That when we look at our passage at the end of John, we're continuing our mini sermon series about renewal. And here in John, at the end of John, we're looking at this event that happens soon after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And this part of history is often like overlooked and maybe ignored a bit, because we have, like Christians, we have Easter. It's like a large festive celebration by the resurrection of Jesus. And then a lot of times you look at the writings of Paul, which happened much after Jesus resurrects. But what about this period, like right after Jesus resurrects? What is happening here? What is happening during this time? So I want to start off by looking at two things. Firstly, what were the disciples doing during this time? And what was Jesus doing? Right. So firstly, the disciples. Like, what are disciples going through during this time right after the death and resurrection of Jesus? Right. So I want us to put ourselves into the shoes of the disciples. Okay, the shoes of disciples. What have they gone through? What have they gone through? Well, you as a disciple arguably have had the craziest 3 years of your life. That one day, this Jesus guy wanted to be your friend and wanted you to follow him. And then you kind of followed him around. And he seemed like a pretty cool guy. You got really close to him. He seems like a really caring person. You followed him closely. And you did become good friends with him. This Jesus guy, Jesus says some weird things sometimes. Let's not doubt that. He says some weird things. And sometimes this is a little embarrassing when Jesus is like fighting and arguing with the Pharisees, because it's like, you know, secondhand embarrassment. But for the most part, you know, Jesus is nice to be around. He's nice to be around. And during this time, these past 3 years, you've been following Jesus. You witnessed him do crazy miracles, healing the sick, feeding the 5,000, walking on water. That's pretty crazy, right? And at a certain point, you and like your now group of 11 close friends, the other disciples, you guys begin to wonder, like, you know, is there something going on with Jesus? Like, is there something special about him? And just as some of you, as the disciples, are wrestling with this question, that maybe there's something special about Jesus, he gets betrayed and arrested by one of your own. And the next morning after he's arrested, he's hung on the cross like a criminal and dies on the cross. 3 years of this friendship with Jesus just disappears. It's all gone. It's all gone. Maybe Jesus wasn't that special after all. Maybe he was just a really nice guy who had a few party tricks that we got to witness these past 3 years. And just to rub salt on the wound, after Jesus dies, he doesn't even get a proper burial, because soon after, you find out that his body's gone. That probably somebody took his body. It's gone. He's not even buried properly. But in the middle of your mourning, 3 days after he dies, while you're mourning, what happens? He appears to you and the other disciples. He appears all of a sudden. Jesus is alive? Like, how is this possible? Just an emotional roller coaster that these disciples are going through during this time. And it's after Jesus comes back, you know, that's where we encounter our passage today. The disciples have been through this whirlwind of emotions and events very recently in these past 3 years. And, you know, Jesus being back from the dead, pretty crazy. But what does it all mean? How are they supposed to respond? For disciples, there is a lot of confusion. There's a lot of confusion right now. That, you know, for disciples, they're definitely happy to see Jesus, okay? It's like their good friend, he's back, right? They're definitely happy to see him. And, you know, Jesus might have some holes in his hands and stuff like that, but he's still Jesus for the most part, right? And for disciples, they probably think that Jesus is going to be around like before, for the most part, hanging out, healing, and doing all these kinds of things. At this time, the disciples have no idea about like Jesus' ascension into heaven. They have no idea about Pentecost or anything. They're still in this state of confusion and not knowing exactly what's going on. They have this supernatural encounter with this guy who came back from the dead. What are they supposed to do? What are they supposed to do? They don't have any scripture or community to give them direction. They are still at a loss. So what do we find them doing in our passage today? We find them fishing. We find them fishing. The disciples went all the way back to their old jobs as fishermen. That, you know, I guess Jesus is here, but I guess, you know, bills still need to be paid, so I guess we'll go back to fishing like it was before. They're almost like living as though the past 3 years didn't happen. They just go back to their old life of fishing. As ridiculous as it may seem for the disciples to go back to their old life, I don't want us to knock on them or look down on the disciples at this point, okay? Because I think it's really true that they don't know what to do at this point. They really don't know what to do. They're living in this in-between time between Jesus' resurrection and whatever the next steps are, and it's very unclear. And arguably, it's still a time where they're experiencing, the disciples experiencing a lot of fear, right? Because, you know, Jesus was arrested and hung on a cross like a criminal. And, you know, arguably the disciples could be seen as co-conspirators with Jesus. Now that Jesus is back, is there going to be more arrests and more violence? You know, I guess it just makes sense for the disciples to kind of like just lay low for a bit. Just blend back into normal society, like be normal fishermen again. I don't want to cause any trouble. It's still a very unstable and confusing time for the disciples. Very unstable and confusing. Now, what about Jesus? Disciples clearly confused. They don't know what's happening right now. When we look at Jesus, right, it's interesting because it begs a question as to like why Jesus appears to the disciples so many times. Why? Like, why didn't he just resurrect and then, like, go back to heaven right away? What's the point of Jesus hanging out and doing all these things post-resurrection? Arguably, didn't he do his main job already? He, like, died on the cross and paid for the sins of mankind. Job done. Let's go back to heaven, right? Why does Jesus hang around? Why is he still around? When we read this passage in John 21, right, we read that this is the third time that Jesus appears to the disciples. This is the third time that he appears to them. And I want to actually, I don't have time to point out like all the encounters, even though I really want to, but I'm going to quickly highlight the first encounter that John records that Jesus has with the disciples. And he records this in the previous chapter in John 20. Jesus appears to them. The disciples, they're clearly scared, and Jesus calms them down and tells them in John 20, 21 to 23, it says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you forgiven them, if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." So in this first encounter, Jesus is sending out the disciples and giving them the Holy Spirit. So doesn't that mean that after this first encounter, the disciples have their assignment already? Because we can argue that Jesus has given them the next steps. He has given them the next steps. Shouldn't that be enough for them to like go out and do something? Shouldn't that be enough for them to go out and like forgive sins like by the power of the Holy Spirit? When we encounter disciples with their third encounter, why are they fishing? Why are they fishing? Are they just disobeying Jesus at this point? And it's interesting, right, in this third encounter, this fishing encounter, because when Jesus comes to them, Jesus is not wondering why they're fishing. He's not wondering why they're fishing, even though arguably he already told them to go. But why is it that the disciples go back to their old life? Why is it that they go back to their old life? See, in this, the disciples are in this like in-between time. This in-between time with the resurrected but not quite ascended Jesus. Jesus is this in-between time. And Jesus has a distinct purpose for appearing to disciples many times. That what we see is that Jesus is not done with the disciples yet. He is not done with the disciples yet. Jesus is, just as he was helping them to learn and grow while he was walking on this earth, he is continuing that mission and that job, even post-resurrection. He is still very interested in their growth and building them up post-resurrection. And you know, Jesus, he understands how they're feeling. He knows that they're confused. He knows that like they're feeling unstable and like trying to figure out what's going on throughout this uncertainty. He knows that the disciples, they need reassurance during this time. And all these encounters that Jesus has with them, it's all preparing them in preparation for when Jesus actually leaves. He's preparing them for his departure so that at a certain point, the disciples are ready to hear the Great Commission, embrace the Great Commission, and then Jesus can ascend and go back to heaven. Because honestly, if Jesus didn't appear so many times to the disciples, if he didn't appear so many times, they probably just go back to their old life for good. They probably just go back to their old life as fishermen and live life as it was before they met Jesus. But Jesus keeps coming back to work on them. He keeps appearing to prepare them, just like those construction workers on I-81. He keeps working in them. He doesn't want the disciples to stay static or feel that they were like done. He doesn't want them to feel like they're done. This is a reality that we face as Christians today. Because the reality is that Jesus is not done with us either. Jesus is not done with us either. In fact, if you are a Christian this morning, Jesus right now desires to work in and through you. That he is desiring for you to grow in love for him and love for others. I think a lot of times, we may be tempted to think that we're somehow spiritually done in some shape or form. Not that we think that we're like super holy, but like, you know, I've met Jesus, I've embraced Jesus, and you know, I can kind of be done with that in a lot of ways. We saw the disciples, crazy 3 years with Jesus, witness great things, you know, and they could arguably just like cherish those memories that they had with Jesus and simply move on with their lives unchanged. What about for us? For us, it could look like a spiritually vibrant college experience. 4 years or maybe more years of college where you grew a lot spiritually, where you encountered and met Jesus in a very, very real way, where Jesus became so real to you while you're in college. And then you graduate, life becomes a bit mundane, your spiritual life becomes a little more mundane, And that vibrant college experience just fades into a nice memory of the past. That maybe this mundaneness is just how life is. Or perhaps you went on a mission trip or a retreat and saw the power of God in a very tangible way. You saw and experienced Jesus in a way that you've never experienced before, that it was very, almost tangibly real. You saw people coming to Jesus so easily. And for the first time, you found yourself like hyper-focused on the mission of God. Witness great things at this retreat or missions trip. And then you came back. And then he came back to a life that was full of responsibilities, full of worries, so many things to think about day by day. And then that mission trip, that retreat, also just fades into a memory. That maybe my spiritual growth just capped out or maxed out during that time. That experience was just an anomaly in my life. Or maybe you have been a Christian for a really long time, and that excitement of following Jesus has kind of worn off. Spiritually speaking, like, you still come to church, you attend fellowship regularly, and maybe serve here and there, but in the end, you don't experience any sort of spiritual challenge or spiritual growth. Life is just fine. And spiritually, it just feels like we're just kind of cruising along. It's so easy for us to get the sense that we're somehow done, spiritually speaking. It's so easy to fall into this spiritual, feeling like things are we're spiritually stagnant and not growing. That's very easy for us to just go on cruise control instead. It's so easy for us to have this sense of like, I guess, spiritually speaking, I guess this is it. I guess this is it. I'll just carry on with my life like normal. Just like normal. My friends, I want to encourage you this morning because Jesus is not done with you yet. Jesus is not done with you yet. That Jesus wants you to draw nearer to him. That he wants you to know him more and more intimately. That he wants us to grow and experience him throughout our lives, not just in these one-off moments. That he's always looking to do more work in and through us. That he's looking to bring this work of growth to completion in our lives. That Jesus is not satisfied with you just being a baby follower of Jesus. That he wants you to grow. And you know, he is not just wanting us to grow, but he actually wants to partner with us in our own growth and renewal. That he wants us to be taking part in the work of the gospel and seeing people come to faith, people discovering salvation. Because this is who we are meant to be as human beings. That we're not simply meant for accumulating these creature comforts on this earth. That there is, we're not meant to just like drag our feet through our lives until we die. There is purpose for us here. And our journey with Jesus, when it begins on the day that we decide to follow Jesus, that journey continues through our whole life into eternity. And as long as we are on this earth, our spiritual journey is never done. Our spiritual journey is never done because Jesus is not done with us. Now, as I say this, I completely understand, right, that you may be thinking, Andrew, like, I've heard this before, but that type of life is difficult. I've tried to grow. I've tried to establish good spiritual habits, but there just doesn't seem to be any result. And it's just not worth the effort. Spiritually cruising simply seems like the better option here. And I think that's a very normal, it's just a very normal thought and struggle for the Christian. Not seeing fruit, it can be extremely difficult and discouraging when that happens. That we talk about all these ideals for a Christian life. The church we teach and preach about, you know, what it means to follow Jesus, what it looks like to follow Jesus, and like what holiness looks like in our lives. And, you know, we give an effort, we give a valiant effort, and sometimes that doesn't, it doesn't work out that way. And we're stuck thinking, you know, is there something wrong with me? Or is it just too hard to actually try and do? Is this pursuit really worth it? I want to tell you this morning, friends, okay, that the good news is that even in the midst of that, Jesus walks with us still. Because just as the disciples are in this in-between time between the resurrection and the ascension, you and I are also living in this in-between. This in-between between now and eternity. We are also in this in-between. And in this in-between time, Jesus is with you and me. That Jesus has not abandoned us. And this in-between time, you and I, we're not meant to just treat it as like a waiting room. We're not just sitting here as Christians waiting for eternity to happen. Just to sit here in the waiting room waiting for eternity. No, Jesus desires for us to take part in this growth that he has for us. And you know, when we're trying to grow, even when we fail over and over again, even when we see no results in our spiritual growth, we can take heart because that, even in that, Jesus does not view us any less than he did before. That Jesus' view of you and me is not affected by our failures to be holy. His view of us doesn't change when we do not measure up. Jesus' love for us does not diminish. That he walks with us in a way that arguably caters to each one of our needs. He caters to each one of our situations. And we can get a sense of that when we look at the passage, right? Just quickly look at the passage. These professional fishermen struggling to catch a bite. And they're living as though Jesus never happened. And what does Jesus do? What do we see Jesus do? Does Jesus come to them harshly? Does Jesus like yell at them and demand that they get off their butt and go out and tell people about the gospel? Does he like yell at them for fishing? No. We see Jesus consciously choosing to not only give them fish, but cook a meal for them. Jesus is choosing to spend time with them. That instead of being this like nagging parent, it's like, disciples, Peter, have you done what I said yet? Have you like cleaned your room yet? Have you gone out yet? Jesus is like making a meal for these disciples, even though arguably they should know their job already. Jesus knows what his people need. He knows what you and I need in the middle of our spiritual growth. That sometimes it is a push, right? Sometimes we do need a push to step out and in faith to actually like have discipline to establish new habits. But sometimes Jesus is, he knows that we just need to spend time with him. That he knows that we need to be reminded of who he is and his love for us. That sometimes Jesus will, you know, figuratively have a meal with you and me. We worship and follow a gentle Savior. And sometimes we forget that. Because at the very core of our growth, at the very core of our renewal as Christians, is this intimate relationship that Jesus desires with you and me. And Jesus is constantly walking with us in our spiritual journey. This morning, if you're new to our church or maybe exploring Christianity, I wanna invite you to consider Jesus. And maybe things that I talk about this morning may seem a little bit foreign, but I want to tell you that it is through Jesus where, as human beings, we find something much more fulfilling beyond the things of our lives here. That if you have a sense of something is just not right in this world, or the sense like, is this it in this world? I want to tell you that Jesus, he gives us purpose that goes beyond this life. That we as human beings, we're built to be in communion with him. And he invites you to come learn more about him and embrace who he is as the Savior that we need. For others of us in this chapel, that maybe, if you're honest with yourself, you're realizing that, yes, maybe I have, my spiritual life has been very stagnant, that I have become complacent in my spiritual walk, and I'm just kind of like cruising along. That, yeah, it feels like I am in this waiting room until eternity comes. And maybe a part of us is actually fearful to come to Jesus because we think that Jesus is going to be harsh with us. That I haven't been good at like spending time with Jesus. I haven't been doing X, Y, Z. I haven't been thinking about Jesus or interacting with Jesus very much. I've been fishing for so long that Jesus is going to get angry at me when I come back to him. Again, I want to encourage you because Jesus is not looking at you with disapproving eyes. Jesus is not looking at you with disapproving eyes this morning. Jesus is utterly loving and patient to receive every one of us when we turn to follow him, when we choose to take part in our spiritual growth. And I'm hoping that this morning, you and I, we can be intentional to fight against spiritual complacency in our lives. I'm hoping that we can not give up in taking part in our spiritual growth, our spiritual renewal, because Jesus wants to be with us and Jesus wants to carry out this work of renewal. That even though we may give up in our walk, we may give up in growing, Jesus is relentless in pursuing you. Jesus is relentless in wanting to see you grow. And he is waiting for each one of us to choose to take part in that again. And it's because he loves us and he knows this is what we need. He knows that this is what we need. But not only that, the part of the good news here is that our spiritual growth, our spiritual renewal is not dependent on us gritting our teeth, clenching our fists, and just trying harder. The reality is that our renewal is started, carried out, and accomplished by Jesus. And for us, that is great news. That is great news. Because I know for myself that like when I'm trying to like grow and like be a good Christian kind of thing, it is unbelievably difficult. There are plenty of failures along the way. But praise be to God that my renewal, that my growth, my salvation is accomplished, taken care of, and carried out by Jesus. And I can look forward to this eternity, not simply being in a waiting room, but eternity where it is, where my holiness, my renewal and growth will be completed. Where no longer I have to be tied down by my own sinfulness that gets in the way of me wanting to like follow Jesus better. Jesus initiates, carries out, and completes our renewal and our growth for us. And because of that, you and I can be confident to come to him, to come to him, and to join him in what he's doing in your life and my life. Because of all people, Jesus is not going to let this fail. He's not going to let this fail. And despite our failures, that's not going to stop what he's doing in our lives. Friends, this is who we are meant to be as people of God, communing with our Savior in an intimate way, because he is a person that loves us. He is a person that is highly invested in you and me, even when you think you're not worth investing in. So would we this morning turn to Jesus and desire and choose to take part and join him in our own renewal and spiritual growth this morning? Let's pray. I want to invite you to take a moment, take a minute to consider in your own life. That especially if you realize this morning that, my spiritual life hasn't been growing, that it is quite stagnant. And maybe you feel like, it's just not worth trying because it's just too hard. I want to invite you to come to Jesus and ask him to help you. But even before helping, ask Jesus to just show himself to you again. That you be able to see and experience his love for you in a very real way this morning. Because it is from there, from that relationship, where growth and renewal actually happens. Oh God, of all people, you know that we are weak. Of all people, you know that we are unable to be holy. We're unable to follow you properly. That even though we claim to be Christian, we are often very not Christian. Forgive us, oh God, that our brokenness, our sinfulness still bugs us, even as Christians to this day. I pray, Lord, that you would remind us of this reality this morning, that you, Jesus, are the one that, one, brought salvation to us, but you're also the one that carries out our renewal and growth and ultimately completes it in eternity. That you don't desire for us to simply try harder or grit our teeth more, but you ultimately desire for us to know you more deeply, to commune with you more deeply, desire to partner with you and walk with you, because this is a relationship with a person, you, oh Jesus. So I ask that you would remind us of this morning, oh God. Reorient the way that we view our own spiritual growth in this way. And help us to see you ever more clearly this morning. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.